Excuse me. I did not even plan to lose my voice on the last part of this trip, but there is a reason, and I believe God is in this, and I'll explain that in a moment. But I want to say to you, Mike, as I was listening there, of course you don't know me. Many of you have just met me, but as I was listening to you, I could just feel the Holy Spirit rise up within me. And I got into inner healing because my first calling is intercession. And what I would like is a picture of your ministry team, because I have a wall where I put the photos. So when I pray daily, I have that visual contact to remind myself. But as I was sitting there, one thing that came to my mind, I thought of this 16-year-old girl sitting in this chair. And you know, Jesus taught us, he teaches us through his word and pictures. He teaches us through parables. How many of you who enter into worship enter in picture? And so I have learned to worship in picture, to pray in picture, and to teach as best as I can in picture. And I thought in my mind, in my heart, if this young 16-year-old, instead of sitting in that chair, could picture herself sitting in the arms of Jesus every day, maybe it would be easier for her to be able to endure what is intended to be torture. So there's such a place for inner healing and pictures in everyone's life, but especially in those in other nations that are being persecuted. And I remembered being 4 years old. My grandparents were Pentecostal preachers. And I remember every day of my life when I was with my grandmother, her praying, I had forgotten about this, her praying for China and for the children of China. And we didn't have a lot of money because they were country preachers. But every week she would take $1 and put it in the offering for the children in China. And as I was praying, the Lord just dropped this thought in my heart. I don't know how old your parents are. I'm not quite that old. So you can say they're in their elderly years going out, and you're in their younger years. Well, I'm in my middle years. And I feel God calling me stronger and stronger to missions. And as I was sitting there, I just heard the Lord say to my heart that you don't know it, but there have been days when you've been in China, you have crossed the path of one of those children that your grandmother prayed for. And I don't believe anything happens coincidentally. And I believe the day is going to come that I'm going to meet face to face. For some reason, God is fulfilling the prophetic in my grandparents' life in vision in me. And so I would like to commit to you and your ministry team on behalf of our ministry, Heart Set Free, to become what Wagner calls T1 intercessors, to where we want to pray for you and your needs daily. And so at the end of this service, there's a reason our paths have crossed. And I just had a conversation with, we call them M's in China. You know, I just had a conversation with an M and M. They're married. And they were talking about the vision. They're in Tianjin, of going into North Korea. They're from North Carolina. So part of the mission God has called us to is networking ministries. So I feel like there's a purpose for this. And then the other thing I want to say is, Charisse and Paul and I, thank you so much for opening your doors and your hearts and your finances to us. And for Pastor Sam and Lisa, for trusting Jesus enough to allow us in. I apologize that we didn't have time to go deeper, but this is just a taste to see what God may want to do here. But I work a lot with Jimmy Stewart, and so when I was praying last night and I sensed my voice was being hindered, the first thing I did is warfare over it. If this is the enemy, stop it. But how many of us know that sometimes it is the enemy? And the fact is that I've kind of abused my voice this last month. And so I believe that God has allowed this to continue, because in my heart last night, I felt like Jimmy was the one that was to teach on authority today. And I am so humbled and honored to be able to work with him any opportunity I have. I know you all love Jimmy Stewart, and so I am going to pass on teaching. I give you authority today and ask Jimmy to do that for me. So, Pastor, if you can pray over Jimmy.
And as a prayer for you, I'm going to dismiss the kids too. Sorry, I forgot. Let's pray for our kids. Lord, we just bless them, God, and just touch them today, Lord, and really draw them closer and closer to your heart, God, and just be with Annie as she teaches. Lord, use her, bless her, Father God, and just let her be able to articulate, God, your love to them, Lord. We thank you so much. And bless Jimmy as he shares the word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's welcome Jimmy.
I know my lovely wife is out there somewhere. Hi, honey, and my son Marcus. Now I feel confident. It's good to be here again. And I'm really thrilled to have Paul here, because God used him significantly in my own life, in inner healing, when I went up to Oklahoma. What was it, October? And he really demonstrated the Father's love for me. I was at the time still 50. I wasn't 51 yet. I still needed the Father's love. Amen?
Amen.
And I needed the Father's love with flesh on it. And God used him to reveal his love to me. And so I was broken. And I think my life has been totally changed since then. So I really appreciate you, Paul. Thank you. And I can say a lot about Judy, but I'm going to go ahead and go through right now about I give you authority. And since I became a Christian, that was in 1978, I've always wanted to know, what does it really mean, I give you authority? And so I asked the Lord, you know, you have not if you ask not. I asked the Lord, you know, teach me what it means. I read it, I understand it here. But to apply it, how do I do this? And so when you pray a prayer like that, believe me, God is going to answer that prayer. And so he put me in many different situations that I might learn and practice this authority he's given me. First of all, I had to learn about that there is actually there is a spiritual world. Yes, those that are from the West, there is a spiritual world that we live in. The spiritual world of me now is as real as this natural world, this material world, than before. Before, I just made fun of it because, you know, different cartoons that we had growing up would make fun of the, you know, ghosts and this whole spiritual world. But we do live in a spiritual world. And as Christians, you become an automatic target. I don't like to say that I'm a target. I like to say the enemy's a target. Now that I've learned about my authority, when I have Christians come to me always talking about how the enemy's attacking them, and I encourage you, why don't you attack him? You have all authority. Amen?
Amen.
And I like to think that the enemy hates it when I'm around, and I'm going to go through some scriptures and you'll see why. But I remember when I first came to Hong Kong, I came here with Youth with a Mission. We lived in mid-levels, and it was during my DTS. My DTS leader said, okay, I want all of you to go two by two. I want you to go out to different directions of Hong Kong. We're going to send you out for 3 days, 2.5 days. And we're going to give you 30 Hong Kong dollars to survive on, and you just have to go and figure out how to get back and just survive. Jimmy, your team is going to go to Aberdeen. Where's Aberdeen? Okay, it sounded like it was another country to me or something. So we went out, and I was scared to death. My wife was separated from me. She went out with someone else, and they ended up sleeping in a park somewhere and different things. And I was walking the streets of Aberdeen. But I have been reading a newspaper about triad gangs during that time. And I'm from Las Vegas, so I understand a little bit about gang warfare. And I understand that you do not walk in neighborhoods that you don't belong in, you don't belong to. You don't even wear certain colors in certain neighborhoods in America without getting beat up by gangs. And so to tell us to go out somewhere I don't even know about, too much about, and I didn't know the community very well, and to know about triad activity was a very scary thing for me, especially being a foreigner. I didn't speak the language. My partner didn't speak the language. And so we went out, and okay, how do I use my authority in all this, you know? Now, we went out in the morning time. I was out in the streets of Aberdeen trying to witness the people, but I kept thinking in the back of my mind, I've got to find a place to sleep tonight. You know, I just couldn't see myself sleeping on the sidewalks of Aberdeen. And at that time, I was really afraid of rats. And so all it took for me to see one rat and fear just floods in. And Aberdeen has big rats. Okay. And then it was getting around 9 o'clock at night, and I start thinking about where I'm going to sleep at. And I could hear the enemy just, you know, just in storm fear. God's forsaking you. God's not good. He's not going to help you. Not you. You're not worthy, and all these different things, you know. And so I just remembered, you know, my authority over the enemy. And I said, you know, I just take authority over you in the name of Jesus, and I rebuke every voice that's coming at me right now. And I start quoting scriptures that relate to God as my provider, that He will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. And I began to quote those scriptures. I didn't hear those voices anymore. And then faith started rising up inside me. I know if I have to sleep on the sidewalk, then I know that God's got something great in this. Something's going to happen. But Lord, provide a house for me somewhere. And so that's exactly what happened. There was a church they were worshiping late at night. It was about 10:30. And they were worshiping in Aberdeen, and a Baptist church. And we just walked in. And they greeted us as if they were waiting for us. And then they took us into their homes and had a big feast that night. And now some of our team members were not as fortunate as I was. But many of us came back with more money than when we went out with. But that was kind of like my introduction to Asia. And I think it was the only time our DTS did something like that. It was ours. And most of those people, was like 35 people in our DTS. Most of them are still on the mission field. And we came here for 2 years only. We came here to experiment for 2 years, and now it's 21 years later. But it's because, you know, I fell in love with Jesus while I was here. And I feel totally secure in Him. You know, it's a wonderful thing to feel secure in your Maker. You see, the authority that Jesus has given us is birthed out of intimacy with Him. I want to say that again, in case you didn't catch that. To know your authority in Jesus is birth in intimacy with Him. You see, before it was only in my head because I really didn't know Him. But when I got to know Him according to His Word, the Bible says just believe Him. And as I began to believe His Word, His promises, I just saw that God just comes through. You know, I got lots of stories I could tell you, but I'm going to just keep them short. I'm not a rich person here in Hong Kong. People ask me sometimes. I had a guy today ask me, why are you here in Hong Kong? And he really was expecting me to say, I'm making a lot of money, you know. And I told him my reasons for being in Hong Kong. We came here and we were living off of $250 US a month. We still are living close to that, but but as you can see, I eat very well. God has taken good care of me. I go to my ATM machine sometimes. There's nothing in there. And I just lay my hand on there. There's people behind me. You know? And I just lay my hand on there. I said, Satan, take your hand off of my money in the name of Jesus. My inheritance. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are my provider. I thank you, Lord. You know what I need. Thank you, Father, for supplying my needs. Ding, 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 ding. No, it doesn't happen that way. That just happened not too long ago, right? When we went to go see Judy in Oklahoma. you know, we were going. We had no money as a family. I have four children, and my wife. That's quite a few people to pay for a flight. Only one person wasn't going with us on that particular trip, and I had nothing. And I went over to my account, my ATM machine, and I said, "In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you are the supplier of my needs. And I believe right now the anointing is going forth right now, Lord, to provide for me what for me to go on this trip. I rebuke you, Satan. I know you got your hand on my account. Take your hand off my account now in the name of Jesus." And you know what? The next day, a businessman, a Christian businessman, he called me and said, "Hey, I hear you're planning on going to the United States." He said, "Can you meet me for coffee at Pacific Coffee?" Pacific Coffee has an anointing. I want you to know that, okay? That was in my coffee days. And he sat down with me and he says, "Well, how much do you need to go on this trip?" I told him. He didn't wink or anything. He just, "Okay, here, take it and go." Well, he didn't say go. He just said, "Here, take it. Have a good time." And from that point on, God just blessed us from that point on. And I can just tell you story after story how God provided for us. You know, I've been able to travel. Now, some of you would never even think about this, to travel to another country with no money in your pocket. How many would mind doing something like that? Yeah. I know it's a scary thing to think, you know, to get on an airplane and go with maybe 10 Hong Kong dollars, 100 Hong Kong dollars in your pocket somewhere. But when you understand your authority in Jesus, when you understand God as a supplier, as the one who meets all of your needs, there's greater security in Him than what's in my bank account. No matter if I have $1 million in there, several million. Many people found that out during the SARS problem that we had here, that there's no security in their finances. And so when you're secure in Him, you don't worry. You just trust. He's a good Father. I just love Him so much. Well, then, you know, I was in Las Vegas. My wife and I lived in this area. It's a pretty dangerous area when we first started off in our marriage. And remember, I prayed to the Lord, teach me about authority that He's given me. And I remember a time when my next-door neighbor, this guy was a drug addict, and I heard all this noise going on in his household. And so he had this white picket fence around his house. And I ran up there and I said, "Alan, what's going on in your home?" I was outside the fence. I wasn't inside. I was yelling from a distance. I heard all this noise, bam, bam, crash, crash, crash. "Oh, don't kill me," you know, and I heard this. Alan, are you okay in there?" He never answered. And then three guys came out of the household and they had blood on their faces. One guy had a big knife. I'm thinking, "Oh my goodness, he probably killed my friend Alan." I says, "You guys, what did you do to Alan?" And he said, "What's it to you?" I says, "I just want to know if he's okay or not. I want to call an ambulance to help him." He says, "Why don't you come over here and find out?" I don't know about that. "That's okay, we'll come to you." So they started walking towards me. And this is the fence, right? So I kind of stepped back a little bit, and I just remember hearing the Holy Spirit says, "Take your authority in Jesus." And I said, "Yeah, in the name of Jesus, they're coming at me now. They're coming at me real fast, all right? My blood is pumping. It's got to work or I die, right? It's got to work or it's over for me." You just have to believe. And I was silly enough at that time and now to believe that I had authority over the enemy, because it's a spiritual battle. And I knew what was behind them. What was impelling them, what was empowering them, was the powers of darkness. And so I'm not even looking at them. I'm looking at what is impelling them and empowering them against me. And so I just took authority over it and said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to drop that knife now." And the guys stopped. And they looked at each other like, "Huh?" And the guy had the knife up and he goes, and he drops the knife. And the guy, all three of them took off. They get in their van and they just run off. You see, my friend Alan wasn't in the house. They ramshacked his house, and there was a lot of things going on with his family and so forth, connected with drugs. My wife sticks her head out the door right about when they take off, and she looks out the door, and she says, "Oh, there you are." She says, you know, strange thing, I've just been praying for you. Some reason I felt I was impressed to pray that you would know who you are in Jesus. And she just prayed for me during that time. So God was working with both of us during that particular time. He's faithful. God is faithful. You see, one of the, in the satanic realm, the enemy constantly, his main focus is to keep you from knowing the power and authority that we have in Jesus. Did you know that? Constantly, he's working to do that. Satan and his kingdom, they're jealous. Did you know they're very jealous of you? Why? It's because you are God's highest creation. Amen? Amen? Can you look at each other and say, you are God's highest creation? Yeah. We're second place in the universe. We are. We're made in his image. And Satan hates that very much. He hates the fact that we are created in God's image. And that we can produce other creatures in God's image. He hates that because he cannot do that. He cannot reproduce. He cannot. He's very limited. He hates that more than anything. And so though both Satan and human have rebelled, only we have been redeemed. Did you know that Jesus did not die for fallen angels, and he did not die for animals? He died for who? He died for you, and he died for me. Why? Because we're his highest creation. You do not die for someone that is not equal to you, that is not of value, the same value. If you just think about that for a moment, would you throw yourself in front of a bus to save a cat? No, you wouldn't? Or would you? Some of you may, I don't know. I wouldn't. My little Tonto dog, it would be all over for him because I just couldn't do that. I love my dog. His name is Tonto. And he's a little schnauzer. But I'm not going to sacrifice my life for him because he's not of the same value. But if my son Marcus is there, yes, I will sacrifice my life for him. Why? We are of the same value. And the Lord Jesus, your Father in heaven, saw the value of yourselves. And so he gave his life, Lord Jesus gave his life for us. That's how valuable you are. And of course he's going to give you his authority. So he did not die for animals or creatures or for Satan or any fallen angels. Now this makes the enemy very anxious to do all he can to keep us from discovering who we really are. And in counseling, we see that quite often. How the enemy starts right at conception. Right at conception, he starts to try to keep you from discovering who you really are. How valuable that you are. Now, many of us probably here right now don't know your value. But you are so valuable. I wish I could just sometime just come and just talk about the value of each of us. Amen? He died. That should tell us right there. He died for us. So Satan works to do that. And of course, he doesn't want us to discover who God is. That's the greatest thing that he's afraid of. That you will discover who you are and that you will discover who God really is. His whole tactic is to blind you and to keep you from those two things. Even at conception, when a baby is conceived, when that little one is conceived, right away, if the enemy can just get that mother to respond like this, oh, gosh, I'm pregnant again in about 1 month. I'm pregnant again. I don't want to be pregnant. And if I am pregnant, I want it to be a boy. Oh, that little baby's spirit picks it up right away. Now, the mother can change that if she wants to. You know, in a couple of months or so, she can change that, change her whole attitude, and the baby will be all right. But if she doesn't, and then the baby keeps hearing that over and over again from the mother's emotions and what she's saying, that she's not wanted, then that baby grows up feeling that that baby's not valuable, unwanted, low self-esteem. And this gives the enemy the right now to begin to build fortresses around that baby in the mother's womb. And the enemy begins to work hard to keep that baby immediately when that baby is born events that would occur to keep that baby from never knowing who that baby's true identity is. Amen? You can see it happening. If the baby's unwanted, you can see it happening. The baby goes to a playground, not a baby anymore, but when the baby goes to like elementary school, let's say, or primary school, goes out in the playground to play, and no one wants to play with the child. There's rejection right away. The enemy's working right away, you know, to keep that baby, reinforce that you're no one. You're unwanted. Who are you? You have no identity. And then throughout that baby's life, the same thing keeps happening. And so that's why inner healing is really good, because you learn who you are and you learn, you know, what has happened to you. That the enemy's been trying to keep you from knowing who you are, never discovering your self-image, never discovering who God is, and thinking that God is no good. The Bible tells us that God is good and all of His works are good. Amen? Can you look at each other and say to each other that God has made you good? Good work. He made you a good work. It's a good work. Yeah, you're His handiwork. So He works hard to keep us from discovering who God is. But He is equally afraid we'll discover who we are. And I'm so happy about this Solomon porch. I'm so happy about what God has been doing with you. I've watched you over about 3 years now. And to see where you're at now and where you're going, I see the changes. And I really see, as we've been praying, and I have seen in the heavenlies, the river of life coming from this place. In Ezekiel, talking about as a river flows, everything that is salty will turn to fresh water, and everything that is dead will be alive. And I really see that coming from here, birthing from here. And if you just keep pressing in, and especially knowing your authority. I've come in contact with missionaries in Mongolia. There were some Mongolian missionaries that were living way up north among a tribal group of people there. And they were all bones, you know, and they were all sick with disease. They were dying up there. And the reason why they were dying up there is because they never knew their authority over the principalities of the land. They didn't know how to take their authority over those who were shamanist priests in the area. And so all they do is pray hexes against them and curses against them. And they didn't know how to fight. We are in a war. We have to learn how to fight. The victory's already been won, but we got to clean up, mop up now. And so we need to learn how to war. And I'm so glad that you have Sam and Lisa here, because they're going to teach you to be warriors through the Holy Spirit. Train in your hands for battle. And so Satan has a wide range of tactics to keep us from discovering who we are and what to do about it. He knows, that with the Holy Spirit within us, we carry infinitely more power than He does. Oh, you know what was revelation to me is when I read in Job. You can turn there real quickly, Job 1. And I'm just gonna just go right on into start from verse 7 probably. Well. Verse 6 of Job 1. It says, "Now there was in the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'I'm roaming about on the earth and walking around on it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil.' Then Satan answered the Lord, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him?'" I'm going to skip over. He talks about that in verse 11. "But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face." Verse 12. "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has in your power, only do not put forth your hand on him.' So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord." Two things that I just want to bring out is, first of all, Satan himself is accountable to God. What he does, where he goes. You see that in verse 7? Then Satan answered the Lord. He says, The Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Oh, of course, God knows where he's at all the time. But he's accountable. And then he has delegated powers. I'll say that again. He has delegated power. He does. But greater is he that's in us. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We have more power because we are God's highest creation. And so he told Satan in verse 12, he says, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. And then later he told him, don't kill him. Don't kill him. Because he only has delegated powers. That revolutionized my whole thinking, especially when I'm working with Mongolians, because many of them are so afraid of the shamanist priest. They're so afraid. You know, they all were shamanists and Buddhists before they came into Christianity, but there's still that fear of the shamanist priest. But when they come and understand their authority in Jesus, it makes a big difference. And not many of them do really understand their authority. And so Judy's been going there, and a friend of ours named Felix, and we're beginning to teach many of them about their authority in Jesus. Amen? It's very important. It's very important. Because there's so many curses that are being sent around on missionaries and Christians, period, there. Their death is so prevalent in Mongolia. They have to know their authority. And so here's an illustration about a lady who's a Christian. She was a converted Christian out of the occult. While she was serving Satan, she had the ability to see the amount of spiritual power different people carry with them. She stated that each non-Christian carries a certain amount of power, some more than others. Like, for instance, an example would be husbands. You are the head of your families, Christian or non-Christian. There's a certain authority that God has given you in the spiritual realm in your family. Teachers. You have authority as a teacher as you teach children or whoever you teach. I liked Dr. Charles Kraft. He taught me this, and that is that sometimes when things are going on, all you have to say is, Satan, stop it right now in the name of Jesus. And sometimes you don't have to say in the name of Jesus, stop it right now, because especially as Christians, because they understand already who dwells in you and that you're one. You're one with Jesus. You're one in the Spirit with Jesus. And so my wife is really good with that. She teaches school. And sometimes these kids in the classroom, they just get really restless, and they're just moving all over the place, and they're giving her a hard day. And she just says, stop it, Satan, right now. And you know what? They stop. They stop. Why? They honor the authority that she has that's been given to her by Jesus. They know that she wears an invisible crown to us on her spirit. They know, and they honor that very much so. The powers of darkness is very afraid that you will find out who you are in Christ Jesus. Very afraid. When I come to a nation to go teach or anything like that or preach, especially if I'm away and I come to Discovery Bay where I live, I always make a statement. I just came back from Malaysia. Soon as the plane touches the ground, I say, Lord, I thank you for my authority you've given me here in Hong Kong and Discovery Bay. I receive that authority and I say, Satan, get over in the name of Jesus now. Your time is finished here. And I really believe that. I believe he's made me the priest of my neighborhood. And when I walk in authority knowing it's going to be fruitful, that God has anointed me to be there. He's told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, didn't he? Now, what else did he say about that? Did he say he will be with me? Did he say he will be with you when you're going into Korea? Or China? He's with you. Amen? Sam, he's with you. That's a promise. God cannot lie. If he lied, then he wouldn't be God. He can't lie. So what are the works of God? What should we do to gain righteousness? And the Bible tells us what? Just believe on the one that was sent What do I believe? I believe His Word. I believe everything about Jesus and everything He said. Amen? So, this lady, she said that she could see the amount of spiritual power that different people carry with them. She stated that each non-Christian carries a certain amount of power, some more than others. But Christians carry an enormous amount. Indeed, she could spot a Christian immediately in any group or at any great distance by noting the amount of spiritual power she carries. This is due, she now knows, to the presence of the Holy Spirit in Christians. She and her fellow members of the occult group, however, felt no threat from the vast majority of Christians. They're not afraid of the vast majority of Christians. They don't care if you worship. They don't care if you read your Bible. They don't care if you do all the religious rites. They love that. Go ahead and do it. What they're afraid of is that you will know your authority. God hates poverty. I hate poverty. I pray against poverty. I bind it and I cut it off in the name of Jesus. And I receive God's blessing in my life. He doesn't like it. It's oppression. Oppression isn't from God. Amen? For the Christians had no idea what to do with the Holy Spirit power they carry. Though this Holy Spirit power provided them with a good bit of protection from evil power, they do not know how to use the Holy Spirit's power to go on the offensive in spiritual warfare. I had a team of young people, teenagers, my wife and I, we took to Kunming, China, and we were on a bus. And I'm learning how to use my authority in different ways as well, over nature and so forth, finances, casting out demons when we need to, sickness and disease. I'm learning more and more. But we were in this bus in Kunming, China, and as we were driving on this little narrow highway, there was a landslide of big boulders that were coming down, rolling down the hill. And we started worshiping and just taking our... We were just captivated in God's presence as they were coming down at us, towards us. And the boulders would just go between us, hit a couple of cars, but they would come and stop near, about 5 feet away from our bus. They never touched us. Why? We were taking authority over the enemy's work to try to destroy us. Okay? It was wonderful. The young people were learning their authority. We had some young people who, high schoolers that we were overseeing a few years ago, and we were teaching them about their authority as well. And they went out, a few of these guys went out here in Wan Chai one night. They used to go out every Friday night just to go out and feed the poor. You know, they would fry the rice, they would cook the rice, fry some noodles or something sometimes, put some vegetable in there and maybe a little meat or something, put in styrofoam containers, put a cross over it, and then they would go out and just feed the poor. And one night they were out there like that, and they seen some old ladies that were out there, and they were worshiping their gods in one of those little god box things, you know, and an altar. And they just started praying, "Oh, God, we really want you to demonstrate your power. Lord, we just take authority of the enemy who's blinded them, the spirit of blindness that's blinding these people. Lord, they need to see your glory, Lord Jesus. You got to do something." And as they were lighting their jaw sticks, as they begin to light, all of a sudden, just something like a lightning bolt came. They didn't see a lightning bolt, but it was like that. It came and then, boom, and it set the whole thing on fire. And then they were able to share the gospel with these old ladies. Amen? Amen. They were taking their authority because young people just believe. Just get around young people. It will rub off on you. They just believe. And so Satan is afraid that you will know who you are in Jesus Christ. When these occultists ran into Christians who do not know how to use their power, they steer clear of them. If they know how to use their power, they stay away from you. Fortune tellers, occultic healers, and others working under the power of Satan discover, for example, that when there are Christians around, they cannot function smoothly. They just cannot function smoothly. When Christians who know their authority, they cannot. And I just know just from my own experience and this happening at times, when I see Mormons that are I can't stand it when I see Mormons taking just talking to people in the streets. I just cannot pass by unless I pray into that situation. And I say in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that occultic spirit right now. I speak confusion and I pray against that they would not understand what they're saying. And you know, it happens. It happens. God honors that prayer. Why? Because I love those people enough to what I would pray a prayer like that, because I don't want them to be deceived. I want them to know know Jesus. That's who they should be knowing, is Him, not Joseph Smith and his teachings. No way. Amen? Amen. And so, you know, it works. He's given you all authority. In Hong Kong, oftentimes, we've seen people about ready to get in a fight, especially when Hong Kong is having financial crisis. People get on edge, you know. And so we've seen it, when, you know how sometimes when it rains and people are on edge and they're trying to get in, find a taxi, and maybe the taxis are very scarce. And I've seen it many times. I'm anticipating it's going to happen. And I've seen it where someone is just rushing in front of someone else and just bogart their way through and jump in a taxi. I've seen them yank him out of the taxi, get ready to start fighting, and get ready to get the fixer cups, get ready to go for it. And we just say, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over the spirit of violence right now. Stop it now. And they just stop. Every time we've ever done that, we've never seen a fight. It's always stopped because Jesus honors it. He honors it. He wants us to be peacemakers. And so we had some Pakistanians, I may have told this story to you before, and some Indians. There were probably about, I would say, a total of about 15 people. And they were over there by Ocean Park, and they were fighting. They were just going at it with each other. And I had a French friend of mine was with me, and this guy, he really knows his authority, and we were watching these guys fighting each other, and we were trying to figure out what can we do without getting killed ourselves. And it looked like somebody was really going to be seriously harmed. And I don't know if you've been around mobs, but when there's a mob, there's a spirit that's behind it, and you can feel it. And people do things that they normally would never do. And so we just started speaking in our heavenly language and started taking authority over that spirit of violence and hate and so forth. And right in front of our eyes, the guys started going like this. They were trying to hit each other, and they just couldn't hit. They just couldn't hit each other. They were so frustrated that one guy just ran. Another guy ran after him, caught him, and he won. But he just couldn't hit him. And he didn't understand why. It looked like he wanted to bite him, but he couldn't bite him. You know? Because we bound up the enemy behind it. Okay? So we went over to them afterwards. And they were leaning up against this wall. And these were the Pakistanian side. And they were just going, like, ventilating, like, I'm not satisfied. There's something that's not satisfied, but this anger is still in me, you know. And then we told them what happened. We told them what we did. We told them how Jesus really saved somebody tonight from being killed, and how much He loved the Pakistanians, you know, just because He does. And so, Satan's kingdom wants us to fear them. You should never be fearing Satan's kingdom. You should be walking in the fear of God, but never to fear His kingdom. Yes, but don't despise them. You know, if you know your authority, you don't have to fear. When was that, Judy? When we were in Mongolia last, it was during the SARS. During the SARS time, I was there before Judy, and the Lord said, "I want you to go ahead and go to Mongolia." Anyways, same with Judy. And now, how many people come to Asia during the time of SARS? And you can imagine how many people tried to discourage Judy from coming here. Many of them did, but she knew that God had called her. She had given a word. She was going to go because she knew her authority in Jesus. And same with me. You know, I had to really think about that. Leaving Hong Kong, we had problems enough, but I had to go to Beijing, and I had to go into Mongolia, and that was really amazing. But God was so faithful to prepare me, because Marcus had evidence of symptoms of SARS. He had come home, he had all the symptoms, and we didn't know what to do. So we called our friends, and they said, whatever you do, don't take him to the hospital, because it's the worst place he needs to go. And I'm going, oh man, we can't take him to the hospital. What do we do? So we sat down, and Linda and I sat down with him, and we said, you know, the Lord just spoke to us, I am Lord over SARS. Don't fear. So Linda and I took, my wife and I, we took authority over the spirit of SARS. And we said, SARS, you have to bow your knee to Jesus. And you know what? Marcus, throughout the night, everything broke. The fever broke, everything broke. Linda took him in for a checkup, and the people were upset at the clinic because they said, why did you bring us a perfectly healthy person? This is a serious thing that we're going through right now. He is perfectly well. Amen? Let's give God a hand. Yeah. So that really prepared me to go to Beijing, and it was weird going to Beijing and not seeing anybody at the airport and so forth, you know, but I had to constantly remind myself who I am. Then when I got to Mongolia, I spent 5 days teaching there, and then Judy came. And so Judy was teaching that morning, and that night before that, I was sleeping in my room, and I was about ready to go to sleep, and I was looking kind of out of the window. It was snowy, very snowy, and I could feel and kind of see like a figure, and I heard a voice say to me, I'm going to kill you. I went, okay. I said, oh, that's just you, Satan. I buy in your name of Jesus, and I rolled over, and I went back to sleep. Okay, I slept really well. How do I know I slept really well? Because they told me about my snoring the next day. But the next morning when I woke up, I had this heart problem going on around here, you know. And then I'm starting thinking, okay, all right, the battle's on. The battle's on. So I went over to Judy. I said, Judy, I'm having some heart problems. Man, this is weird. And I told her what happened. She said, okay, let's pray. She prayed. She said, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that spirit of fear, the temptation to fear. When she said temptation to fear, I knew that's what it was. And the enemy was broken. That power, that was broken instantly like that. And then the pain went away. And I was fine. Amen? Yeah. Taking authority over it. He has delegated powers. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? Yes. Oh, God is awesome. God, I mean, you got to look at that. You got God living inside you. And every one of you wear a crown on your spirit. Some of you have mountain problems right now, mountain situations, and you're not able to, you feel like you don't have the faith or enough, even a mustard seed to cast into the bottom of the sea. Some of you are facing still like a lot of even emotional bondage and things. But Jesus tells us in His Word, it tells us in Isaiah, and it tells us in the New Testament, that His anointing, it lifts the burdens. It lifts the burdens. And it crushes the yoke. That's a promise. So maybe your burden is an oppression of lack of finances, lack of job, maybe sickness, whatever it would be. You got to speak to it and believe that you have the authority in Jesus Christ. As far as demonic powers are concerned, they will listen to you if you know your authority in the name of Jesus. I've had one situation in Mongolia where this man, he came out of this, he was a pastor, and he just started screaming like crazy. He was just screaming. He said, I'm dying, I'm dying, I'm dying. And so we started praying for him, and then when we prayed for him, he passed out. We thought, oh no, the man has died. You know, he's not even breathing. What are we going to do? I prayed for the guy and he died. That's not supposed to happen. Gosh. So we got the word out and started just praying. What does it say about the spirit of death? So we looked inside, and then in Revelation it says the spirit of death is going to be cast into the abyss. So we started proclaiming that to that spirit of death. And we said, now wake up in the name of Jesus. And he woke up. And whatever, he had this headache, really bad headache, and it was killing him. And then there was a spirit of death that was in him. And we just cast that out of him, and he was fine. Okay? So our God is a mighty God. Satan's kingdom wants us to fear them. Satan's kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, is ruled by fear. Fear. But they hate love, and they hate confidence in Jesus very much. Okay? When one realizes how little power that kingdom has, When compared to the power of God, however, there should be very little fear left. Well, people were leaving here during the SARS time. They were running. They were running out of Hong Kong, and out of fear. Christians was running along with the non-Christians. They all were running. They had their bags and they were running, getting out of here. And they said, "We're going on vacation." "No, you're not. You're running because you're fearful." And you know what they would do? Get on the airplane, go to somewhere like New Zealand or Canada, and guess what? They were put in quarantine. Okay, so they went from one problem to the other problem. But the Christians that knew their authority said, "God, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to stay, want us to leave?" Those that stayed, because God told them to stay, they didn't get sick. If they were sick, they were healed, and God used them mightily. The authority during SARS was a good example of God's demonstration of His power. Jacinta, are you here? Is Jacinta here? Jacinta's mother owns a restaurant called Solid Rock. And you know the restaurant situation during that time, okay? Many people lost their restaurant. There were restaurants in Hong Kong that have been here for 100 years. And they were closed down during SARS. And so we all just got along with her mother and prayed and took authority over the enemy's work in trying to close them down. But you know what? They had an increase during the SARS. They had more work than they've ever had during that time. It was awesome how God blessed them. And you know that communism in Russia wasn't a political thing that happened, do you? Do you know that China, I was in China when I first heard the announcement that communism had fallen in Russia. And you know what the political leaders did in China during that time? They started clamping down on all the Christians. They started raiding the underground Christians that were worshiping and putting them back in jail because they said it was the Christians' fault that communism fell in Russia. I thought it was very insightful of them. They understand that. They understood that it was the Christians. Yes, and the reports are that Christians have been praying for years, interceding for years, that the communist walls in China will come down. And it did. Amen? Authority. We have authority in the heavenly realms. We have authority here on earth as well. That's what Jesus gave us. Let me hurry through this real quick, you guys. Amen? Lots of examples like that. Yes. So, if a person's will is engaged against an evil spirit, it is only a matter of time until that evil spirit has to go. Your will is so precious. Do you know that God doesn't even, He does not even violate your will? Your will is your will. It's a gift that God's given you. For some reason, He has limited Himself this way not to violate your will. So your will is precious. And so even the enemy, when you exercise your will, he has to go. There may be a struggle at first if the person's will is not yet on God's side. There may be a struggle. But no one is completely possessed by an evil spirit because you have your will. But as soon as God has a person's will, the tough part is over as soon as God has it. And most people who come for deliverance prayer has already chosen to turn to God for help. Now, you remember Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus came to Jesus. "Have mercy on me." He took off his cloak and he threw it, you know, like taking off, it was symbolic to him, taking off his identity. He ran to Jesus. "Have mercy on me." He's blind. He runs to Jesus, right? He comes to Jesus and Jesus asks him a question. "What do you want me to do?" "I want to see." Well, it looked pretty obvious what he wanted Jesus to do, being that he'd already healed many people of blindness, right? But why did Jesus ask Bartimaeus that question? Because some people love their misery because their misery gives them significance. It gives them significance and not ready to let go of it. And so Jesus was just checking with him, "What do you want me to do?" And so it's as soon as God has a person's will, the tough part is over. And so once we surrender ourselves to Him, all the other things is made very easy. The enemy will flee. And God will use us greatly then. So that's why most people that come to deliverance is already saying, "Look, I've my will is to turn to God. I just want Him." And so it makes it easy for any of the powers of darkness that has them in bondage to go. Jesus both spoke about the kingdom of God and demonstrated that it was already present on earth. The fact that he drove out demons proved that the kingdom of God has already come to you. Luke 11:20. You can write that down. Luke 11:20. Jesus did things that made clear the fact that he operated in God's anointed spiritual authority. That he operated in God's anointed spiritual authority. That he was anointed as the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ, the anointed one. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was operating out of the anointing of his Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit. And he came to defeat Satan, both, during his life and through the cross and resurrection. That's what he did. Over and over we see him exercise his spiritual authority over the enemy in scriptures. If you read the scripture, you'll see that over and over again. Over half of the Gospel of Mark is devoted to Jesus' demonstration of the fact, Jesus' demonstration of this fact through healing and deliverance. But you know what? He's also called us to do that as well. He's called us to walk the same way. Jesus made it plain, however, that he didn't limit that authority to himself. This is very key for us. He conferred on his apostles in Luke 9 and Luke 10 the power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases, Luke 9:1. With this authority and power, they were to go out about healing the sick and letting people know that the kingdom of God has come near you. Then he says to the disciples and to us, this is to us, as the Father has sent me, I send you. John 20:21. As the Father has sent me, I send you. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the disciples, but he's also talking about each of us. Each of us. It was Jesus' intent that his followers imitate his approach to witness. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. This makes life very interesting when you know your authority. It makes it very interesting and fun. You never get bored. So as again, it was Jesus' intent that his followers imitate his approach to witness, accompanying words with power, Acts 1:8. And in Matthew 28:20 then, we learn that he meant for his followers to teach their followers the things that he had taught them. That's what he said to us. They are to teach their followers to obey everything that I've commanded you. Amen? And that this teaching was to include how to operate in the authority of Jesus to perform signs and wonders seems clear from his promise in John 14:12 that whosoever has faith in me will do what I've been doing. And he will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. I want you to understand that Jesus said this, that whoever believes in him will do the works that he do, but greater works that he does, that he did, because what? He's going to the Father. And because you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you have his anointing. And let me give you a little illustration if I can find my little card here. Oh, here it is right here. Okay. Okay, this is a credit card. Okay, this is a credit card. And up here it says Hong Kong Shanghai Bank. Okay? Hong Kong Shanghai Bank. It doesn't say that. This is Judy's card. I'm just going to make it up, okay? I told her I won't run away with it and spend it. But up here, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank. That would be like God. God owns everything in the world. He's the owner of everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But he also owns the 1,000 hills. He is the earth is his, the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof. So God is the owner of everything. He's our supplier of everything that we need. Okay, the account is for face to face ministries. That's our ministries, face to face ministries. So I have free access to this account in this bank, God's bank. The face to face is like Jesus. The Son of God, he has free access to the Father at all times. It's made out for Jimmy Stewart, okay? So I can cash in through Jesus anytime I want to, amen? And so that's the same way with your authority that you have today, is that God, Jesus, and your name written on the bottom here on this credit card. You have free access always to the one who has all authority, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. That's God. Now, let me just take your attention quickly to Acts 10:26. In Acts 10:26, oops, I might have written it down wrong. Acts 10, let's see here. That's not the one I want to give you. I'll come back there in a moment. Okay. All right, going over to Isaiah chapter 10. Verse 27, it says, "So it will be in that day that his burden will be removed from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be broken because of..." Mine says fatness, but the Amplified says his presence. And then in chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Then a shoot will spring forth the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." So Jesus was anointed. He was anointed with wisdom and understanding, with counsel and strength, and with the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That yoke that he's talked about up here, the burden, some of us even right now, we need to have those burdens removed from our lives and to believe what it has said. Because in John 27, it says this, that let him who thirst, or whoever shall thirst, says, Jesus said these words, come to me, and then he says, and drink of him. And then it says, whosoever believes what the scripture says about me, springs of living water will well up or spring forth from him. And so what do we need to believe now? I believe there's many of us, you don't know your authority, and we want to pray for you. And some of you are still in bondage to many different things, I'm sure. Some of you, I'm sensing that right now. And the first thing I'm seeing right now is that there's sickness. That there's a few people that still have some sickness and some afflictions in their bodies. That God wants to heal you tonight, if you believe. And we're gonna just pray for you tonight. There are different ones that are still looking for work. And we're going to believe the anointing. We're going to believe that God's going to release that to you tonight. I'll tell you an example. We did this in Mongolia once. We went to this place called Darkhan. And this church was the poorest church of all. There's only like three churches in this area. And at this particular time in 1997, the unemployment rate in that area was 80% unemployment. 80%. The church only had a couple people in there working. And so I went forth and the Lord gave me a word. And he said, look, tell them to go back and get their idols, and have them lay them at your feet. I had students with me at the time. Lay those idols at your feet. And as they lay those idols at their feet, I want you to pray for a release of jobs and bind up in my name the spirit of poverty. And so we broke the spirit and the curse of poverty in the name of Jesus. They brought all their idols, laid them at our feet, and God set them free. Not only did he provide jobs for everybody in there, but he also healed them of sickness and diseases. It was incredible what God did that evening. And the teenagers that were with me were overwhelmed what God did. Many of them were blind. Some of them were not blind. Some of them were deaf. And they were able to hear. Some of them were deaf mute. They couldn't speak or hear. and they were able to hear and speak. Some of them had cancer in their stomach and all kinds of skin problems, and God was healing all these people. He just healed them all because these kids knew their authority. These kids knew their authority so well that they understood this. Whoever possesses the gates of the city possesses the city. And they knew that the shamanism marks were all set at the gates of the city. So we went to the gates of the city and we took authority and canceled off the enemy's authority and proclaimed Jesus as Lord in that particular city. Because they believed that God was going to use that now to bless those people. And so do you believe? Your Father in heaven does not want you to be poor in health, to be poor in anything. And I'll show you that real quickly, just real quickly. If you could turn to 3 John. In 3 John, it says in verse 2, "Beloved, I pray that in all respect that you may prosper." I know that we're afraid of that word prosper as Christians sometimes. But it's the heart of God to bless you. A good father wants their children to be happy and to bless them. A good father, and he is a good father. I pray that all aspects, I pray that in all respect, you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Just as your soul prosper. So God wants us to prosper. Amen. Can we just sing a song?